Well, I want to thank you for that flattering introduction. I'm not a PhD. I'm just Kevin Bamber. So, but I, you know, appreciate the intro. So, thank you everyone for coming, and thank you for inviting me to this session. Privileged to speak here. So, talking today about nitrogen cycling from fall applications of biosolids to winter small grains. Just for some background on this topic, over 200,000 megagrams of biosolids are applied annually in the state of Virginia, and most of these go to corn, hay, and pasture. A very, very relatively few biosolids are applied to winter small grains, and the reason for that is environmental. It's a mixture between environmental and regulatory concerns and also application logistics. To get more specific, one of the big environmental concern with these fall applications of biosolids is nitrogen loss. And as a result, there's a limit on fall-applied biosolids into small grains of 50 kilograms per hectare. You can't apply any more than that, but where that causes problems logistically is they're applied with manure spreaders, and it's not really realistic or feasible to apply biosolids at that low of a rate to winter small grains, so it's very infrequently done. So, you know, one of the big questions we were thinking of, and it's been said out there, is, hey, this could be a feasible practice if we were allowed to apply biosolids to winter small grains at higher rates. So we just wanted to study the question of, is this a sound practice? Is applying biosolids to winter small grains even a sound practice in terms of the agronomic and environmental concerns? So how is it going to affect the nitrogen uptake of winter small grains? What's it going to do to yield and also environmental impacts? What sort of N are we looking at being left in the soil? So our big overall objective here is to determine the effects of soil texture and biosolids type on the appropriate biosolids application rates and timing. So to that end, we selected 10 sites from 2012 to 2014, all in the state of Virginia. 8 of these sites were in the Virginia Coastal Plain Physiographic Region, and the other 2 were in the Ridge and Valley Physiographic Region. The picture you're seeing is one of our coastal plain site, the Virginia Coastal Plain being where most of the agriculture in the state occurs. At all sites, soft red winter wheat was planted in October. All of the fields were managed in no-till, and the rotations at every site was spring corn, winter wheat, double crop soybeans, followed by a winter cover crop, and then it's repeated. So you have near continuous cropping of some sort at these sites. And we studied the use of 2 different types of biosolids, anaerobically digested and lime stabilized, randomized complete block design, 4 reps, and all of our treatments here, you know, had specific purposes. We had 4 different rates of urea that we looked at, and from ranging from 0 to 150 kilograms per hectare, and the purpose of these just being to see, you know, the quantitative response of nitrogen, you know, quantitative responses in terms of N uptake and grain yield and soil effects as you increase N rate. And then our two biosolids application strategies were meant to, the first one where we split apply biosolids with urea, that represents what is permissible now in biosolids application in Virginia, but not very feasible. And then the other strategy is saying, what if we were allowed to apply a full agronomic rate of nitrogen in the fall to make the practice feasible? So just to see the effects of these different practices, we took plant samples at growth stage 58, that's the end of anthesis where N uptake, you know, levels off and, you know, greatly slows down, stops. We only measured nitrogen uptake in the second year of the study. Both years we took grain samples to determine yield at harvest, and then also both years we took soil samples at the end of the season to see what sort of nitrogen we were leaving behind. So we used a few different sources of biosolids in the 2 years of the study. In the first year, we used one source of anaerobically digested, 2 sources of lime stabilized. The second year, we used only one of the sources of lime stabilized that we had used the previous year. And we analyzed for total Kelvin nitrogen and ammonia nitrogen, and then we were able to calculate organic nitrogen by just subtracting the ammonia N off of the TKN. And in Virginia, it's been pretty well established the way we estimated our plant available nitrogen in our biosolids applications was just there's been a number of studies over the years that have shown that when we apply biosolids, about 30% of the organic nitrogen will mineralize in the first year. And then also the amount of the ammonia N that is available was adjusted for estimations of volatilization based on the biosolids pH and also the method of application and incorporation, if any. In our case, we surface applied with no application. So that all had influence on our estimates of plant available nitrogen, and I've lost it again. If you'll excuse, oh, here we go. Okay, and we're back. All right, and given that we had 10 sites across the state of Virginia, we were able to study a relatively wide range of soils, and one of the important features we wanted to look at and get a wide range of was the nitrogen leaching risk in the soils we were studying, and the main soil factors that were driving these were soil texture and drainage properties. So the soils that were deemed high risk were those that were coarse in texture and well drained. Those that were moderate had loamy textures and yet were still well drained. And those that were considered a low risk of nitrogen leaching were those that had fine textures, aquic properties, or in some cases there were soils that had both, so that they were considered a lower risk in terms of that. And another trend we observed is that in general, the finer textured soils contained more total nitrogen and more inorganic nitrogen prior to planting than some of our coarser textured soils. So, moving on to how all of this affected our plant growth in soil, we chose, just for the sake of time here, we're going to focus on two of the soil types we looked at, Alta Vista and Bojack, for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons being we were able to study these soils both years of the study. Another reason being that the results that we found on these soils were very representative of the results of the whole project, and also these soils are very well representative of the soils in the Virginia coastal plain. So we just felt it was appropriate to show you these and not all the soils, because we would be here well over the allotted 15 minutes, and so I just want to keep that to an appropriate length. But so the first thing we have here is our grain yield versus our nitrogen rate, and we formed a curve from a response curve with urea, and the main takeaway point on the Alta Vista, which was the finer textured soil, is that there were no differences in grain yield between urea and biosolids treatments. Also, it's important to note that there was no differences between treatment type, whether we're using anaerobically digested or lime stabilized. It resulted in equal yields, and also the timing, whether we did the full biosolids in fall or whether we split, also resulted in equal yields on Alta Vista. Now, that some of the same trends occurred on Bojack, but not all. The trends that were the same was that all the biosolids, all biosolids treatments in urea resulted in equal yields, and there was no influence of biosolids treatment type. However, the timing was significant in the first year. So in the coarser textured Bojack soil, when we applied 50 kilograms per hectare as biosolids, splitting that with urea in the spring, that resulted in greater yields than a full full agronomic N rate application in the fall. And this next slide is grain yield versus N rate again, but this is for the second year of the study on the same soils, and the results for Alta Vista were the same. Biosolids and urea the same, and there was no influence of biosolids type, rate, or timing. Bojack, the results turned out a little differently this year. In the second year of the study, lime-stabilized biosolids resulted in greater yields than urea and anaerobically digested biosolids, but we didn't have that timing effect like we had the first year. In the first year, it made a big difference whether we split applied biosolids with urea or didn't. This year, that timing effect did not occur. And just as a little bit of support for what we saw in that second year in terms of yield was, skipped one. The N uptake data matched very closely, mirrored the patterns of grain yield. Moving on from that, we wanted to calculate nitrogen use efficiency, and we also saw very similar trends where biosolids and urea were the same in the finer textured soils, which were the Alta Vista, Kempsville, Roanoke, and State, and there were no biosolids timing or type effects, but in the coarser textured, the Bojack and the Emporia, we saw a little bit of that, and again, it was the lime stabilized in the second year seemed to do a little better in end-use efficiency. And the last thing we really wanted to do was at least try to estimate how much N we could have been losing with a rough estimate of nitrogen mass balance calculation involving our inputs and our removals. Our inputs were the inorganic nitrogen present in the soil before planting. Then we added on the nitrogen that we applied, and then we added in the estimated amount of soil organic nitrogen mineralization. Our removals were our N uptake, and then whatever residual soil inorganic N we had, subtracted our removals from our inputs, and that gave us our estimate of unaccounted for nitrogen. And again, going back to Bojack, the pattern again was very similar with yield and N uptake, where urea and all the biosolids types were statistically equal, and there were also no type N rate or timing effects of biosolids. Bojack, again, story was a little bit different here. We had two biosolids treatments were significantly less than urea. The others were the same. But if you're looking at biosolid source, treatment type and N rate timing, none of that had an effect. So what we observed led us to conclude that anaerobically digested and lime stabilized biosolids can be applied to the finer texture soils at a full agronomic N rate, but coarser texture soils benefit most from a biosolids urea nitrogen split and also benefit most from lime stabilized biosolids. And with that, I'll take questions.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Yes.
We did.
The first, and I think that was the reason for our timing effect in our first year, that in the first year, rainfall was 16 centimeters above average from March to June, which is about the middle of the season to harvest, and then our second year study, it was close to average. So there was a big difference in rainfall, year one to year two, and we think that explains our timing effect. Yes. I'm thinking that was my thought on that I think the main reason, one of the reasons is that because those start off with a higher pH, I think it takes longer for them to release plant available nitrogen, and that makes a difference on a coarser soil that's more likely to lose nitrogen, but on the finer textures, it didn't. Because even sometimes you could see little differences in the finer soils, but they were never significant. It was only ever significant on the soils that had a loamy sand or coarser texture in their top 30 centimeters.
Any more questions? One question.
What were you determining or using to determine the significant differences between your biosolids?
Well, yeah, we made the regression curve, but I also used multiple comparisons to see how the treatments, to see if they were different each when compared to one another. It would have been mean separation is what we did. That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.